chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. And, man, we had some awesome teaching from Deacon Dale all the way to Minister Doug, huh? Amen. How long? Urgency. He preached on urgency. Then we had Frankie preached on giving God your best. Glorify God with your body and your spirit, which is God. It's just everything lined up. And then Brother Doug came with a word about overcomer, being an overcomer. That was powerful. And he was in some of my notes. You know what I'm saying? That's how I know, too, the Lord was speaking. So if I had to title this message, I could have named it Overcomer Part 2. But I said, but tonight we're coming out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. And we're going to read it. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. And when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dealt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of the hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Give God some glory for his word tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Hallelujah. He's just so good. And if I had to title this message, the name of the title would be Fight Back. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, if you're not scared, tell them, fight back. No, not for real. No. Fight back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, one of the best fulfillments and satisfactions in life is when you're clear about your purpose and your calling. Because when you're clear about your purpose and your calling, you have purpose and you have accomplished, you have passed up a bunch of people in this world that have never found out what they were called to do and what is their purpose, even a lot of Christians. And I believe it is very important when you know your calling, so therefore you won't live a confused and puzzled life. So, but God, when he shows you your purpose, you are motivated. You wake up with passion. You wake up with passion because you know that you're on the right road. You might not know your destination, but you know that you're going somewhere. Amen? And it's a blessing to know that what you're called to do and what's your assignment and what is your purpose. But can I tell you something? Even in spite of all of that, there is something else that is true. It doesn't matter how clear you are about your purpose. It doesn't matter how clear you are about your assignment and what you are called to do, how passionate you are, there is still something that you cannot shake off, and that's something we all go through is discouragement. We all go through seasons of discouragement. It don't matter how long you've been saved for. Everybody goes through a season or a sense of discouragement in life. And so Timothy was in this season of discouragement. I'm talking about to the point where you feel like you want to quit. And look, you know you're doing what the Lord's supposed to, you know what you're doing, what the Lord wants you to do. But for some reason, you just have that sense of discouragement just because life and just so much things that is going on. And that's what Timothy is going through right here. And ain't nothing more difficult to deal with than a deep discouragement, something deep that is keeping you away from God. And I believe tonight there's some of you going through this discouragement. And you prayed and asked God, Lord, pray that you give me a word tonight that can deal with this situation. Amen? Anybody going through that? Because I believe God has a word for you tonight that's going to help you throughout this situation. And so here we go. The Bible says in verse 2. It says to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. See, Paul writes to Timothy. It's Paul write this letter to Timothy. He writes this letter to Timothy. I believe it's the second letter to Timothy that he wrote. And Paul and Timothy had a close relationship. And you can tell because he said, my beloved son. It was like a son and father relationship. They were so tight. Paul took Timothy in since he was a teenager. If you read in Book of Acts, Paul was with Timothy. Timothy was with Paul, and as Paul was preaching and teaching the word and preaching the gospel of Christ, Timothy was with him, and he had raised Timothy up. He mentored Timothy, and he seen something in Timothy that was worth spending time and investing in. And so Timothy watched him all his life and watched him preach. He mentored him and teached him and showed him how it is to preach the gospel and to encourage him. And when I think of Paul and Timothy, just to give y'all understanding, Paul and Timothy, they had a close relationship, kind of like David and Jonathan. You see, two different generations. You kind of like Ruth and Naomi, kind of like Esther and Mordecai, like Barnabas and Mark. See, Barnabas was successful, and Mark knew about failure. So they was together you see how the Lord put people together? He put an older generation with a younger generation. And this is what I see, two different generations coming together. You don't hardly see that no more, an older generation and a younger generation come together. Because the older generation, then they'd be the main ones complaining. I don't know what's wrong with these youngsters today. But the fact is that y'all the problem, because if y'all would find time worthy enough to invest in to help them find their dreams and help them find their calling, then it wouldn't be as much as what it is. So half of the problem is the adults. They don't find it worthy of their time. They so focus on their dreams and what they have, and they forget about the young ones. And so Paul pours into Timothy. Paul gives Timothy an assignment. He gives him a mission to go preach in Ephesus, to be a pastor in Ephesus, because he couldn't get to it. Paul was locked up in Rome when he wrote this letter to Timothy. And Timothy had a sense of discouragement. It was just weighing him down. And you can tell in the conversation, you can tell in the Bible. It doesn't clearly say it, but you can tell, because it's kind of like if pastor having a conversation with First Lady on the phone. But I can't hear what First Lady's saying, but I can tell what she's saying by what pastor is saying to her. It's like, oh, baby, well, stir up the gift, baby. It's going to be okay, you know. God has given you. You can tell. That's the sense of this. You can tell that's what Timothy was going through, discouragement. Timothy was going through discouragement. So I want to tell you a little bit of good reasons why he could have been going through this. And he has some good reasons why, as you look at the book of Timothy, he has some good reasons why he can be going through all of this. First of all, his age. Timothy was a young man. Somewhere in 1 Timothy, it says that Paul reminds him and encourages him and says, hey, do not despise your youth. He says, set an example to the believers. So it could have been his age that was getting to him. He could have been discouraged, because sometimes older people think that because you're younger, that they don't have, because you don't have the experiences as them, they think God can't use you. Oh, yeah, I know I'm a young man. You know, they think God can't use you because you're young. But let me tell you something. Age and gray hair is no guarantee to wisdom. Because I know a lot of gray-headed fools. That's not a guarantee to wisdom. And so he could have been discouraged because of his age. Older people telling him different things and trying to, you know. So isn't that's one of the reasons. Another reason he could have been discouraged, because of his physical limitations. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, I think it's 4, the Bible says, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. Because Timothy had a sickness where he would take a little wine. As far as those days, it was like a little medicine. So that could have been a burden to his problems. He's preaching. He's teaching the gospel. He has older people and seasoned saints just talking about this and that. And so that could have been a burden on top of that, his sickness and what he was going through, his health problems. And so that's another thing that he could have been discouraged on, his disposition. Because you can see in the Bible that he was timid. See, he had a personality where it wasn't as bold like Paul was. He was the type of person, his personality was kind of like, he wasn't confrontative. Like, he wasn't straightforward. And some people probably took his kindness for weakness, because some people do that. When they see that you're kind and you're, they can take your kindness for weakness. And that could be one thing that he was probably discouraged by. His disposition, his personality. He wasn't naturally bold. So, you know what I'm saying? That's another thing. I'm just running through. This is my intro, just kind of showing you where he could be discouraged. And when you think of this, just think about yourself. What is, if this is your place, if this is what the Lord is saying to you. Another thing is his enemies. The Bible says that he had enemies. Enemies outside the church, enemies inside the church. The enemies outside the church was people that was persecuting them. Because anytime you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you go be persecuted for righteousness. Amen? So you know he was being persecuted from people on the outside, but he's also being persecuted. He's also be talked about people on the inside. And ain't nothing when you're trying to help somebody out, you're being talked about from the people in the inside. And you ever heard of a friendly fire? Anybody heard of a friendly fire? Well, a friendly fire is like a military thing. It's whenever you are on the same team, Randy know what I'm talking about, and then you accidentally shoot one of your players, one of your people that's on your team. But the thing about this is the person that is trying to aim at the enemy, he actually really trying to aim at you. That's the only difference with this friendly fire. See, the friendly fire, see, and that's people that's actually on your side, but they're still aiming at you because, oh, Jesus. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I experienced this at my previous job. I was a manager, and I have hired Christians. And people that you would think on the same side, Tino, people that you think would be on your same side was actually trying to go to the bigger boss to try to take my position. So I know how it feels whenever your people that's supposed to be on your side persecute you and trying to take your place. And so that's so many reasons why Timothy could have been discouraged. And these are some of them as you read from Timothy 1 all the way into the end. You can see so many different reasons why Timothy could have been discouraged. And I got a question. Have y'all ever been there before? Have you ever been there discouraged before to where it felt like you wanted to throw in the towel? And you love, you know the Lord. You know you're walking in your calling. But there's a time in your life where you just feel like, I want to quit. I can say that. There's times in your life where you feel like I want to give up because you're trying your best to help people that's trying to come at you. Is it in your marriage? Think about it. Some of you in your marriage, when you first got married, you was like, man, this is the love of my life. I am in love with her. But then a few years later, you're like, Lord, if I can fill up my car, I'm going to leave. I'm going to Texas. I ain't coming back. In your marriage, you've been discouraged in your marriage. What about your children? The children that you're raising, you're like, Lord, I'm teaching them how to be obedient unto Lord, but I'm trying to give them heaven, but they look like they determined to go to hell. And you can get discouraged because you're trying to help them, and you're trying to help them see the light. You're trying to lead them into the way that the Lord wants them to go. Or even your job. Oh, Lord, this is my dream job. I'm making money. I'm providing for my family and everything. A year later pass, you're like, Lord, I don't know if I'm sure if I heard you right. But at first, you thought it was your dream job, and which it probably could be. But because of the pressure, because of life, because of people, and because of situations, you feel like this is not my job. What about in the ministry? Some of you didn't took some positions, the nursery. No, I'm just playing. Some of you didn't took some places, and this is what the Lord wants you to be. But then you got a sense of discouragement. Lord, I don't know if this is what I... But you got 6 kids. You rich. So this could be... That could be it. So anyway, Paul senses the pain. He writes to him a letter. You know, he's in prison and stuff like that. And so now Paul begins to encourage him. Let's look at verse 3. Paul begins to encourage Timothy. He said, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day. The first thing that Paul encourages Timothy, he says, Timothy, I'm praying for you. Night and day. And ain't nothing like when you know somebody praying for you. I'm not talking about just that religious, well, brother, I'm praying for you. And then as soon as they walk away, they forgot to pray. I'm not talking about that type of prayer because everybody can say that. Well, I'm praying for you. Just pray for them right there. So, like, anybody can say that. So I'm not talking about. Paul is talking about praying for Timothy. He prays for Timothy. And I know how powerful that is because I know the reason why I'm up here. Somebody prayed for me. And his prayer is powerful. And ain't nothing like when you're going through something, somebody that you know, prayers is powerful and they pray for you. Ain't nothing more powerful and encouraging to know that somebody's praying for you when you're going through. And that's another thing. Look at it in verse 4. The Bible says in verse 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. And what I see in this scripture, what Paul's heart was saying is that, Timothy, I know you're going through a lot of stuff, but I just want to let you know I care for you. I care for you, Timothy. The tears of joy, I can't wait to see you. And ain't nothing like somebody that, when you're going through something, that you know that they care. Because one of the tricks of the enemy, what he's going to try to do is isolate you and make you feel like no one cares about you. No one cares about what your situation is. He's going to try to discourage you. Another thing that in verse 5, the Bible says that when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in you also. That's something else Paul encourages Timothy. Paul, my dog, I'm Brother Duck. It's something he says that I see that what he's trying to say to Timothy right here is that, Timothy, I believe in you, Timothy. It ain't nothing like, see, Timothy respected Paul. But it ain't nothing like when you, because you knew that Timothy believed in Paul, but it ain't nothing more inspiring to the person that you believe in also believes in you. Ain't nothing more inspiring and get you going is when you know that they believe in you. Paul says, I believe in you, Timothy. You know why? Because what I see in your grandma and what I see in your mama, I think I see it in you, Timothy. I believe in you, Timothy. Paul believes in Timothy. And ain't nothing like coming from a heritage of faith. Coming from a family that's believe, huh? And that's where Timothy came from. Might not be like for a lot of people, but sometimes when I think of quitting, you know who I think about in my family? My great-grandfather, Pop Tom. Pop Tom. He lived to 111. He died in 2004. Big family, 9 children. Actually, one of his children is my grandmother, where she is still alive. She just celebrated her 84th or 85th birthday, and she's the last one living. He didn't watch maybe most of his kids, except my Aunt Sinead and my mama, passed away. He didn't went through so much in life. He was a World War I veteran. I did projects in high school. I used to cut his hair and everything. We had conversations. He spoke in French. But that's one thing I noticed about him. He wasn't perfect. But one thing I noticed about him is that he didn't quit. And ain't nothing like more encouraging than perseverance. When you can keep on impressing. And I done had talks with him. I talked to my grandma and asked stories. And that's one thing that he didn't do, quit. He was married. For a long time, my great-grandma died at 92. They both lived a long life. And he never quit. Thank you, Jesus. I'm on good timing, praise God. Hallelujah. And so, Now everything switches up in verse 6. He starts encouraging him. He starts to comfort him. And now he comes to critique. He comes to check him. And he's so, Paul's so smooth with it, don't even see, look like he, like pastor. Pastor can tell somebody something, they don't even look like, they leave like, huh? What's he really saying? He's smiling, yep. So like, pastor know what I'm talking about. He'd be like, did he really tell me that? Well, I don't. Anyway, so he says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift by the laying of the hands. Stir up the gift, Timothy. Because let me tell you something. Paul was saying that your trouble is not really the trouble. I'm going somewhere. I'm getting to my point. That was my introduction. This is my point. Your trouble is really not the trouble. Your problem is really not the problems. The reason why you want to quit is not because of your age. It's not because of your disposition. It's not because of your health. It's not none of that. The reason why you want to quit, let me tell you why, Timothy. The problem is you. You was guilty of spiritually neglect, and you have allowed fear to control you. That was Timothy's problem. It was never the problem. It was never his enemies. That's not the problem. Because all those things were still there before he even accepted the call. He was always still young. He always still had health problems. He always still had the same personality. So that's not really the problem. The problem is him. So why do, if that never changed, then why did he change? Because that's not the problem. Timothy felt spiritually neglected. He felt neglected. Because he probably been so busy, so caught up everywhere else to where he neglected himself. And the gift, Timothy said, the gift is in you. The gift is in you. You just need to stir it up, Timothy. You know, like some Kool-Aid when you put sugar in Kool-Aid? If you just leave the sugar there, it's in there, it's there. But it's not going to give it its full benefit. You're not going to get everything that it was designed to do, give you that. But when you stir it up, when you stir that Kool-Aid up, boy, that thing quenched. Stir it up, Timothy. And what he was meaning by that, some different translations say fan the flame. Fan the flame. I like that translation. When you think of, anybody know anything about a fireplace or a campfire? See, whenever you go to set it on fire, if you leave it alone, it can look like the fire is dead, but it's really not. You know what I'm trying to say? Am I saying that right? If you leave it alone, after a while, it gets low. But at the same time, the fire is really there. You just can't see it. And I know that for a fact because I barbecued for Memorial Day. And you know how when you put lighter fluid on charcoal, you start it at first, and then you let it sit for a little while, and the next thing you know, I'm like, man, that thing died out already. So I try to put some lighter fluid on, that thing went, whoof. The fire was still there, it's just I couldn't see it. And that's the same way Timothy was. It was still there, but he couldn't see it. And so, in order for you to, in order for the fire to get hotter, you gotta poke it. You gotta poke it and expose it to the air. And what is air? Air is worship. Air is prayer. Air is the word of God. See, whenever you're filled with the word of God, and when you're filled in prayer, and that's what gives the fire more intensity. That's what gives it. And the funny thing about it is that you know that you have control of how intense the fire gets. It is your spiritual responsibility, not pastor, not me and the worship team to get you, not the deacons, not the minister. It's you. It's your responsibility to keep that fire burning, not relying upon anybody else. It was his responsibility. And then when I know that I'm responsible, it empowers me. It motivates me when I know that I'm in charge, to that it's up to me to stir that fire up. And notice Paul. Paul did not say, hey, I'm going to stir it up. He never said, I'm going to come and stir it up. No, he said, you stir it up, Timothy. And God has put something in you. God has put everything in you, and that you can handle it. Let me read it like how I wrote it. God has put everything you need to handle what you got to be free. It's in you. It's in you. And so now we come here. He says, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, Paul was not talking about good fear right here. He's not talking about the fear. That's two different types of fear. That's the fear of the Lord, which means to respect. It means in awe. It means to reverence. It means to honor and give him glory and to worship him, to submit unto him. That's the good fear. But Paul wasn't talking about this type of fear, because that the good fear has blessings and benefits. And you can see it all over in the scriptures in Psalms 111:10. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and understanding. Also, you can see in Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tender to life. It gives you life. Also, you can also see in Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of life. Another one, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:26, and the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. So he wasn't talking about giving you that spirit of fear. But what the fear that Paul was talking about, he was talking about this fear, the fear of being afraid, the fear of worry, the fear of being scared, of panicking, of being in anxiety, of unbelief, of stress, of discouragement, of despair, of being a coward and being timid. Because that spirit, God did not give us that spirit. That's not the spirit that God gives us. And we can get it confused sometimes. Well, I thought the Bible said fear the Lord. God had never wanted you to be scared of him. He wanted you to reverence him and respect him because of who he is. That's why God wants us. Fear was never supposed to be our motivation in how we come to God. And so that spirit is not of God. That spirit is from the devil. And that spirit will keep you from being all that God created you to be. That's the goal of fear. It will paralyze you. It's a paralyzing force. It leaves you stuck in a place to where you don't know what to do. It's like a rocking chair. You're moving, but you ain't going nowhere. And that's what fear does. It gives you stuck, and you're like, maybe I should open this business, but maybe I don't know. Maybe I should do this, and maybe I shouldn't. It leaves you in a place where you're just paralyzed. You don't know what to do. It's like a person on a 10-story building, and there's a fire in the building. And the fire is coming, but then the fireman is like, jump! And so you're like, oh, Lord Jesus. I don't know if I should jump or if... And you're in this decision where you just don't know what to do because you're afraid to trust in the fireman. You consume and you go just wait until the fire. So, like, people get stuck in decisions, stuck in, and that's what fear does. It paralyzes you. Fear paralyzes you. And so I got a question. What are some of your fears that you're going through? Because that's something that we all afraid of. It's something that's holding us all back in certain places. Because we all have something we're afraid of. It's something we all have to face. But the problem is when you allowed it to control you, that's when it's a problem. Is it the fear of rejection? Is it the fear of losing a job? Is it the fear of failure? Is it the fear of sickness? Is it the fear of fighting? That's not my fear. Is it the fear of fighting? Is it the fear of speaking in front of others? You just panic whenever they say speak in front of others. Is it the fear of your family not being saved? Is it the fear of death? What is your fear? Is it the fear of sharing the gospel? You know, some people are scared to share the gospel. Is it the fear? This is one of the most, I think, the ones that get most of the people. The fear of people's opinion. And that kills you from being all that God wants you to be because you're so worried about what people think and what people can. And so now you don't work into your full potential. It's because you're like, oh, what if they say this about me? Or what if they say that? And so now you stay in that paralyzing force area. You stay there paralyzed and you don't max out. And I put in my notes, what would your life look like if you decided not to care what people thought of you? What would it look like? What would it look like? Because God is not going to bless you by people's opinion. That's not how he going to bless you. He going to bless you by how you see yourself. And fear will stop God from pouring out blessings that he has for you. It's going to kill your dreams. You know the richest place in the world? Anybody know what's the richest place in the world? Les Brown said it. He said the richest place in the world is the graveyard. Because people die in fear. People die of their inventions and dreams and things they could have accomplished. They go to the grave with it because they were afraid because of taking a step of faith. That's the richest place in the graveyard. John C. Maxwell said he did a survey with 100 older people, I think 90-something. And the thing about what all of them, after he did a survey on what all of them said, the one thing that kept coming back was they said they would have taken a risk more. They would have stepped out more if they had to live life all over again. And fear is robbing us from everything that God has for us. I want to expose it. I want to expose fear today so that you can know who you're fighting, what you're fighting. So you have, and I'm going to give you a few weapons on how to fight fear. I want to give you some homework. I'm not going to leave you with just knowledge. I want you to leave with something to do. Amen? So the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear. Can I preach it how I feel it now? I'm getting comfortable. I feel it. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Timothy, God has given you power, Timothy. The power is in you, Timothy. And when he's speaking of that power, he talks about dunamis power, Holy Ghost power. That's the power that God has given us. I'm talking about the same power that split the sea. The same power that shut the lion's mouth when Daniel was in the den. I'm talking about the same power that kept the Hebrew boys from the fire furnace. The same power, this tops it all out, the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the same power that lives within us. And if the enemy can get you not to see that, because you see, fear, just like how faith is, when we have faith in God, it brings to pass everything that he wants. But that's the same way as fear. Fear is the same way when you have fear, that brings to pass everything he wants in your life. It's the opposite of faith. Just like when Job said, the thing that I feared the most has came upon me. Faith too. The thing that I believed the most has came upon me. So whatever you allow, see, fear is not fear until you allow what's on the outside come on the inside. Think about it when Peter was on the boat, when the disciples was on the boat. See, a boat was made to float, but it's when they had allowed what was on the outside to come on the inside, that's whenever they got scared. And you see, when you're in that state of fear, when Jesus came walking on water, they was like, is it a ghost? You can't even see the Lord when you're in fear. You can't see the Lord whenever you're in that state of fear. You can't. So fear, it paralyzes you from seeing. Is it a ghost? Jesus said, it is I. I am. That's basically what he's trying to say. It is I. Is it a ghost? It's I. Y'all get it? Holy Ghost. It's I. I am. And my last name is the same. I am that I am. Is it a ghost? But anyway, that same power is in you. It's in you. God has given us authority over fear and everything the enemy throws at us. Turn the Bible to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Let me show y'all some scriptures. The Bible says, behold, I gave unto you power to tread on the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. God has given us that authority over the enemy, over anything that comes against you. Matter of fact, he has given us power over three realms, over heaven, over earth, and over everything under. I don't know what scriptures it is, but it just came to me. We have that power. And if you can know that you have that power, man, I'm telling you, man. And that the enemy, he will try to make you feel that you don't have power, that you are useless. And see, it's not only good that you know you have power. Because a lot of people, well, I know, the Bible says that I know. It's not only good that you know, because information without revelation is nothing. Brother Duck said that. But I even say this. Information with revelation without participation is nothing. Because if you know, you can know something and God can reveal it to you, but if you don't step out and do it, it won't. Faith without works is dead. So you can stand there and people can say, I believe God. But what are you doing to show faith? The power is in you, Timothy. It's in you. And I want to share with y'all one of the most powerful weapons against the enemy. I want to give y'all something to show y'all how to fight that whenever that fear comes. It's very deep. Praise. Now this, I love this. I'm going to have to, Lord, give me self-control right now. Because praise. Praise is a spiritual weapon that releases power. It's power in your praise. See, praise, it fights the enemy. Praise paralyzes the devil. It leaves him speechless. Turn to Psalms 8:2. Psalms 8:2. The Bible says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, we are his children, he has ordained strength. Praise is your strength. It's your strength because of your enemies. And he says that thou might steal the enemy in the avenger. What it means is that what praise does, praise slaps the devil in his mouth and silences him. That's what the Bible says. In another translation, it says, silence the foes. He silences the enemies. So you ever be like, boy, I wish the enemy, he beating up on me. Boy, I wish I could fight him straight up, head and head. Boy, I would knock him out. You can't. You can slap him in the mouth with praise. That's why I love to pray. You don't understand how powerful. It's a spiritual thing. It's not. I'm not talking about just the praise that we come do just at church on Sundays. I'm not talking about just on Sundays and Tuesdays. I'm talking about a lifestyle of thanksgiving and praising God on a daily basis. And when you know how powerful praise is, I guarantee you would do it more. But a lot of times our mentality, we just think of it as a religion thing where you just come to church and just do it. But that is a weapon that we should have on us 24/7. Heavy weapons, that should be a weapon we should have on us 24/7. You have to order a few of those for the brothers. Praise. To be like, man, I come to buy a weapon. Well, I got praise. I got worship. So anyway, praise is our strength. Because the devil has no defense against your praise. You know why? Because the devil is a liar. Praise speaks truth. Praise speaks truth. It's an act of our faith. And when you praise God, it establishes your faith. It establishes your faith. And that's what praise does. And it confuses the enemy when you're going through a situation. When you begin to start praising him, it confuses him. He don't know what to do. And you can ask King Josaphat, the king of Judah. I want y'all to pull those scriptures that I gave to y'all. I'm going to break this down really quick. But this is very important, especially as our people, how important praise is. And I want y'all to, when I read this, I want y'all to think of it from I want to read it as a prophecy, as Judah. I want y'all to read it from, look at it from a Hebrew perspective. Amen? Check this out. The Bible says, look, he was being threatened. Let me just tell y'all what happened. He was being threatened by three armies, and his situation that he was in, it seemed hopeless. And watch how he does in this situation. The Bible says that, alarm, Josaphat, he says, resolve and inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Next scripture. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. That sounds like the Negro Land Tour, huh? Everybody from Judah just come to seek him. So what's the next scripture? Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new court. And then from 5 to 9, he just begins to pray. He begins to pray about the situation and what he's going through. Bring me to verse 12. The Bible says in verse 12, the second part of it, it says, "For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." You see that? When we keep our eyes upon Jesus, that's where our help from. We don't have no power, but it's from him. We get our power from him. Go to the next scripture, my brother. Listen to this from us. So then the Spirit of the Lord came upon all the sons, but at the end of it, they say, as they stood up in the assembly. Go to the next one. And this is what the Lord told him. He said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat." He said, "All who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but it's God's." The battle is not ours, it's his. Go to the next one. So now the Bible talks about, he said, you don't have to fight this battle physically. You don't have to fight this battle. He said, take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord he will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. He said, do not be afraid. He says it again. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. I could preach a whole sermon on just this. Go to the next one. Jehoshaphat, what they did after that, after the Lord spoke to them, Jehoshaphat worshiped. The Bible said they fell down on their face and they worshiped. They fell down and worshiped. Somebody say worship. Somebody say worship. Worship. Go to the next scripture. I'm loving this. And so then the Levites and all of them, they begin to praise God with a loud voice. And then they begin to praise God with a loud voice, praising him already, thanking him that the victory is already won. I don't know. Maybe they started singing, "Who can stand against the Lord?" I don't know. "No one can. No one will. Who can stand against the King?" Yeah, no one can, no one will. Oh, victory belongs to him. They probably were singing that. Oh, that's what Todd DeLooney got there from, I'm telling you. So look, we can stay on this, but look, check this out. So that's what they did. Go to the next scripture, my brother. I'm about to show y'all the good part about this too. Then the Bible says that what God told him is that have faith in his word. Joseph had said, look, we just got to have faith. Let's believe. I can see him get his arm. Just have faith in his word. Let's believe in what he said. He said, the victory is ours. We don't have to be afraid of anything. Go to the next scripture, my brother. And so the Bible says that, let me see, go to the next one. You can go to the next one. And so the men came into the place, overlooked the desert, and looked towards the vast army. They saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. From a Hebrew perspective, now, y'all know the Hebrew, no one have escaped. Go to the next one. Look what he's going to do. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment, clothing, and also articles of value more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that they had it for 3 days to collect. Oh, let me break this down a little bit. Yeah, I'm looking at it from a Hebrew. See, the Bible says that they had so much. God took everything back that the devil stole. See, the Bible says they left for 3 days with goods and equipment. And what I'm trying to say is that God will open up a window of heaven and pour out blessings that you won't even have enough room to store. Oh, God, Jesus. It's coming, y'all. It's coming. He's going to give us more than we can carry. Businesses. All right, I got to go, Lord. Pastor told me, look. Woo! Because I can preach a whole sermon on just this. And so, he gave him power. You have power. It's in your praise. Increase your thanksgiving and see. Watch how the enemy flee. Increase your thanksgiving. I dare you. I'm challenging you today. Power is in your praise. But not only that, God has given you a spirit of love. God has given you love. And when you know that God loves you, you won't be afraid. You won't be afraid when you know that God really loves you and you have faith in his promises. See, God loves us so much, he wants to be intimate with us. He knows everything about each person in here. He knows the hairs on our head. And if you ball, he knows zero. Now, John, hey, man, I'm going to come meet y'all soon. But, yeah, so he know too. He know he losing. I'm losing too. But anyway, I can beat me up here, amen. This is me. So he knows everything because he loves us. And you see, because God loves you, what you believe and what you hope for will come to pass. Because he loves you. And I think a lot of times we don't understand how much he loves us. We say it and everything, we quote it, but do we really understand how much he loves? Because if we really do, the Bible says perfect love casts out fear. It drives out fear when you knew how much God really loves you. Let me tell you, the reason why people are afraid is because they're not quite sure if God loved them enough to provide for them. Because, oh, Lord, I did so much things. I did my past, and I wasn't doing right. I don't know if you love me enough. I really don't know. I don't know if you're going to do that for me. This is real life situation. People really think that. I don't think God really loved me enough. It's still, I'm looking at my situation, and my problem is still going, he don't love me enough. But let me tell you something. If you knew how much he loves you, that fear that you complaining about, it wouldn't be in your mouth. Lord, I know my look. Lord loves me. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." The Bible says that God demonstrated his love for me, yet while I was sinner. The Bible says, "No greater love that a man would lay down his life for a friend." If you knew how much God loves you, that fear, see, love and fear can't stay in that place. The Bible says that God loves you. Let's read some few scriptures so you can see for yourself how much he loves you. I want to remind you a few times because the love is in you. If you receive the Lord, it's in you. He had filled you with his love. That's the Holy Ghost. Let's look at a few scriptures. Romans 8, verse 37 and 39. The Bible says, yet all these things, we are more than conquerors. Somebody say more than conqueror. Through him who loves us. Verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from his love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how much he loves us. Next scripture, Bible says in 1 John 4, 9 through 11. He says, this is how God showed his love among us. This is how he showed it. This is how much he loves us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atonement sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. That should give God some glory on that. That's how much he loves us. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, that we may live in him, that we may abide in him. Because the Bible says God is love. When we abide in him, that's when we can see his love and we feel his love. But when we don't abide in him and we abide in fear, then we feel panic and worry. And God say, that's not what I gave you. I didn't give you fear, but I have given you love. That's why I came from heaven, because I love you. I could have stayed up there, but I came down to see about you because I love you so much. and I care for you so much. And I don't want you to go up through everything that you're going through. I'm with you. I want to be with you. I'm trying to show you this. Look, I love you. Timothy had neglected himself. He, for some reason, he got so caught up in everything else, and he has forgotten how much God loves him. And that can happen because you get so caught up in the world. But stir up the gift, Timothy. He says, love one another. That's another thing. Paul reminds Timothy that he has love. Even love your enemies. You got to love your enemies too. Because you can't just love people that you love. Love your enemies. And you want to love your enemies enough to make them your friend. That's how much you want to love your enemies. But some of y'all probably saying, you don't understand, but my enemies, Lord Jesus, they full of hell. Well, just love the hell out of them. I'm sorry if I said it. I said it. Stephen Dahl, I said it. Just love the hell out of them. We got to love our enemies because love covers everything. Love covers wrong, and love should always be our motivation. Fear should never be our motivation. Bible says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but I'm on my last point. Praise God, it went through. I'm on my last point. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And a sound mind. Let me tell you something. A sound mind means self-control. A sound mind means self-discipline. God has given you a spirit. See, the mind is a spirit. The Bible says it in Ephesians, I believe, the spirit of the mind. Renew the spirit of your mind. And the Bible says that with the Lord, with our minds, we serve the Lord. It's in Romans chapter 7, verse 25. We serve the Lord with our minds. And that's one of the greatest tools that God has ever given us, our minds. And let me tell y'all something. That's where the battle usually starts. It starts in your mind. It's in your mind. The place where the greatest conflict is, right here. Oh, Jesus. Because there are more people having trouble in their mind than they having in their finances. There are more people having trouble in their mind than they having at their job, at their marriage. It's in your mind. The battle is in your mind. The devil wants your mind. That's what he wants. He don't need your car. He don't drive. He don't need your house. He don't need none of that stuff. You know what he wants? He wants your mind. If he can get your mind, he got everything else. That's what the enemy wants. He wants your mind. He don't care about all that other stuff. Some of y'all are like, oh, Lord, the devil took my car, don't start. Oh, yeah, he don't care about the car. He wants to get you off so you won't believe in God's promises. He wants your mind. The enemy wants your mind. The struggle is in your mind. That's why a lot of people go to bed tired and then they wake up tired. Because you got you some sleep, but you didn't get you no rest. It's in your mind. You went to sleep full of trouble and pondering, I can't sleep because you ain't got no rest. You slept for 8 hours, but why the bed is all messed up and stuff? Because you was troubled in the middle of the night because you went to sleep worried and panicking and somebody was breaking and all kind of stuff. And this is where it's at, guys. I'm giving y'all the weapons. I want y'all to leave today knowing what y'all got in y'all. Not only knowing, but I want y'all to take this to action, participate in it, and watch it work. I bet you all night prayer at the end of this year will be full up y'all. Oh, Lord, when I did this and did that, Lord Jesus, I'm telling y'all something for real that works. I'm not just talking. This is really, look, the enemy was in my mind all week, more than any time I preached up here. Why was he messing with me this week? Because he know he's in the mind, but he couldn't get me because I was all ready and loaded. He can't stop me. So the devil is after your mind. The Bible says that whatever a man thinketh, so is he. So whatever you're pondering on, if you're worrying about this, and if you're stressing about that, and if you want to make you quit, and your bills, and your health, and your anger, and you want to break down and give up on your dreams, he's attacking your mind. God wants your mind. Life wants your mind. It wants to rob you from your peace. Turn to Isaiah chapter 26:3. You will keep him at perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the Lord, steadfast on the Lord. Because why? He trusts in you. Because you trust in him. That's what the Bible says. He will keep, when you trust in him, you stay firm on his word, not wavering, and you trust in his word for what he's going to do. He says that he's going to give you perfect peace. I rather peace than joy. I'll be honest with y'all. I rather live with peace because peace. He will keep you at perfect peace. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He would keep you at perfect peace. Be anxious for nothing, the Bible says. God wants to give you peace, but it starts off in the mind. Psalms 9:10 says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. That is the goal, to put our trust in Jesus. Because you see, the opposite of fear is faith. That's what God wants. He wants us to trust in his word and believe in his word so that he can give you rest. He wants you to rest on his promises. But you have to rest on his promises. And that's what God wants to give us. He wants to rest on that promise. He will not let you down, the Bible says. The Bible says that we should have the word. We should study and meditate on the word day and night. Turn to Joshua 1. I might as well go there. I was just going to quote it. Joshua, the Bible says, the book of the law, that's the word, shall not depart from your mouth. He said, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe and do according to all that is written in it. For then, when you do that, it don't say read, it says study. And some of the translations say study. It's the difference between just read, because sometimes we can read over something, and then now you got knowledge just sitting on top of something. But when you study something, that means you drive the word into your spirit. And that's what we need. We need to drive it in. The reason why a lot of things is not working is because you're just memorizing things. But when you drive it into your spirit, the Bible says that the engrafted word is going to save your soul. When you drive it into, you see, engrafted means to be tied up. It means to be stitched into something. See, when you have that word up in you, the enemy can't do nothing. And so have the engrafted word in order to save your soul. And so the Bible says, then you will make a way prosperous. And then you will have good success when we meditate on his word and not on fear. See, when we worried and we in fear mode, that's whenever the enemy comes and see what's going on. Hey, what you need? But when we meditate on the word of God, then that's when God comes in and say, I will bless you and give you what you need. Same way as fear. When you meditate on fear day and night, you know what fear is going to do? It's going to bring prosperous and it's going to make you in bad success. It's the opposite. Fear is the opposite. So God has given us a sound mind, guys. We have to drive the word up into our hearts. And I'm closing up right here. You can do my little thing in there. God wants us to trust in his word. The Bible says to trust in him and not lean on our own understanding. And he shall direct our path. But we have to put our trust in him. That's where the power, that's where the love, that's where the sound mind comes from. It's our faith in him. I think about Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. The Bible says that God was about to destroy the world. People was in wickedness, living all kind of different ways. And I'm pretty much sure Noah got persecuted and people was going off on him and telling him all kind of stuff. But the thing is, at the end of the scripture, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And what I'm trying to get to, when you look at what Noah means in Hebrew, it means rest. See, and you reread that now. Rest found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What I mean that is when you're resting on the promises and you are obeying God's word, then the Bible says you find grace in the eyes of the Lord. So if you want to be blessed, trust and rest on his promises and believe God for what he say and believe that the gift is in you and God has given you authority. He has authorized it. You have the power. You have love. And he has given you a sound mind. Nothing can stop you. Nothing you can separate you. Sound mind. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for a sound mind, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your power. Jesus knows what we're talking about. Whenever you look at Matthew chapter 26, the Bible says Jesus was on his way to Gethsemane. He was on his way to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says that he was sorrowful. He was in so much, he was troubled a little bit because of what he had to do. He knew what he was going to do. So the Bible says that he went and he prayed. And he fell on his knees and said, Father, if there's another way to do this, have your way. But Lord, let this cup pass from me, Jesus said. He never prayed just one time. He never prayed two times. The Bible says he prayed three times. But the Father wouldn't change his mind. The Father didn't change his assignment because he had a purpose. He that God is, he had a purpose. And the reason why God has a purpose for you, he had a purpose why he didn't change his mind. But Jesus said, you know what? Not my will, your will be done, God. He said, I'm not going to take the cross away from you, but I'm going to give you cross-hanging power. Jesus had the power to hang on in there for us. And that same power that was keeping him is keeping us. He has given us that power. Power to hang on whatever you're going through. Power to fight back everything the enemy is throwing towards you. With the word, with worship, prayer. They try to throw him in the tomb. He had hanging power. And then I bet on that third day when he seen that tomb broke out, it was like, wow. God wants to give you power. That some of you in here tonight, you feel like Timothy, discouraged, and you never realize it, that really, I've been the problem. I have never been really in the word like I'm supposed to, and I've never really been stirring up the gift that's in me. That's why I've been going through everything I've been going through. I see it now because I've never stirred up the gift in me. A lot of times we pray a prayer that say, Lord, we know you in control, which we do know God is in control, but also he has given us that power too. So we might stand there and be like, Lord, I pray you do this for me, and we just wait. But don't you know that the power is in you too to do it? He has given it to you already. It's like you standing in a house. The bill has been already paid. But you're living in the house with the lights off. God is not going to come in and put your light switch on. So now you're living in darkness and can't understand why when you have the power to put the switch on to see everything that the enemy, like how roaches scattered. The power is in you. Love is in you. And that's why Lord sent me here to encourage you and let you know that you have power, love, and a sound mind. Do not let fear control you. Because when you let fear control you, it's going to cancel your life. You ain't going to get nowhere. And you see how the grave is the richest thing? That's the same way we're going to be. Don't let the enemy kill you from everything that God has for you. Don't let the enemy stop you from all the... God, the Bible says when he died upon the cross, he said, it is finished. When the doctor tell you you're sick, that's when the healing process comes in. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that you said, by your stripes, I am healed. We have that same authority to speak over. So there's people in here tonight that there's people in here tonight Some of you probably don't have that gift, and you're like, man, I want that. I want that gift. That's the Holy Spirit. You can get that gift. You can have that power, love, and a sound mind. All you have to do is receive it. Receive his love. Receive his power. And God will give it to you. I broke it down, what he's done for us, how he sacrificed his life for us, and how he loved you so much that he gave his best for his best. God loves you, and he wants to give you that power so that you can make it. Because without this gift, you won't make it. You won't make it. That's the only way we can fight the enemy back, is with that gift inside of us, the Holy Spirit. So if you want to receive the Holy Spirit tonight and you want that, we're going to do something a little special tonight. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord, the Bible says that stir up the gift by the laying of the hands. Tonight, we're going to lay some hands on some people that want that gift. And for those who've never, we're going to also stir up some gifts tonight. And I'm not going to do it. Y'all going to do it. Y'all going to come up here, and because you are in charge of stirring up that gift. Lord, give me that fire. May the fire mall to never burn out. Give me that passion. Show me my purpose so I won't be in panic mode every day. Show me my goal. Show me what you created me to be. Because God has given you a purpose today. So we're going to have a little few minutes. It's not going to take long because you're going to do mostly the praying. We just go lay the hands. And that's how we go do it. Yes, in Jesus' name.
All right. So what I want you to do right now in the audience, because Brian has laid out, amen, that he told Timothy, listen, you got to have this gift, and that's the Holy Ghost. And the only way you can get this gift is to believe in Yahshua, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. So before we can do any kind of work at this altar, listen, the work of salvation has to be done. There's somebody in here who knows that they don't have it just yet. So just bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me. We're going to admit that we're sinners. We're going to believe in Jesus Christ, and we're going to confess him as our Lord. This has to be the groundwork, y'all. This is laying the foundation, y'all. Ain't no other foundation can any man lay but Christ Jesus. We can't build on you tonight unless you lay that foundation. Come on, let's lay the cornerstone tonight. Somebody say with me, God, I've sinned and I'm sorry. I admit it. I want to come clean. I want to be real. But I believe that you died on the cross with power to hang for all my sins. I believe with all my heart that you died, you were buried, and you rose again. Lord, save me. Cleanse me. Give me a new heart and a new start. You said if I believed that you would save, I take you at your word. Save me now, because I believe Jesus is Lord, King of Kings, and I surrender tonight in Jesus' name. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Okay, here we go. We heard the text. Amen. And you're a Christian, but the devil's been fighting your mind. We want to pray for those, amen, the enemy's been invading their mind. We want to lay hands on you, amen. We might not be able to lay hands on everybody, but we're going to get you to connect, amen. And listen, let me tell you, when we lay hands on you, because of the authority given to us by God, the enemy and all of his tactics going to have to flee. The depression going to flee, amen. Remember what we talked about with answered prayer. We have to come to the altar expecting. Don't even come up here if you don't think God can do it. All right? Don't even come up here. Because I ain't never came to play. You know what I'm saying? I'm here because I know he's a deliverer and a healer. So if he's been playing mind games with you, been messing with your mind in any way, make your way to the altar. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. Now just hold hands with the person on the side of you. Just touch and agree. Come on now. Come on now. Come on. Just hold hands. Come on now. Come on now. Just hold hands. Just touch and agree. Great job. Great job. Great job. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And we're going to touch and agree. We're going to touch and agree. Amen. Brian, my wife, y'all go ahead and touch now. Make a point of contact. Make a point of contact. Father, we agree right now that your people, through the power of laying on the hands, that they be given a sound mind tonight. We rebuke every whispering devil in the mighty name of Jesus. Every worrying spirit, every anxious, anxiety, oppressive, depression spirit, we command you now in the name of Yahshua Jesus Christ, loose our Bible people and let them go in the name of Jesus. We pray that their mind would be sound, solid, that all the lies would dissipate and the fog would evaporate and the worry would disintegrate. God, in the name of Jesus. We don't come here in our own power tonight. We come in the power of our Lord. So, Lord, you say by your stripes we are healed. Heal minds tonight. You said what two or more agree it shall be done. Well, we agree for peace tonight. So, Father, touch minds now. Now, I want you to see chains in your mind. I want you to see chains broken. Can you see a chain breaking right now? See a chain breaking and watch it hit the floor. Watch it hit the floor. Say hallelujah when you see it hit the floor. Say hallelujah when you see it hit the floor. Say hallelujah when you see it hit the floor. That's your worries. That's your trouble. That's your anxiety. That's mental illness. Say hallelujah when you see it hit the floor. Say hallelujah when you see it hit the floor. That's depression tonight. Say hallelujah when you see it hit the floor. Say hallelujah when you see it. Come on. That praise is a weapon tonight. Say hallelujah when you see it hit the floor. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. Hallelujah. 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 Now, right now, in an act of faith, you're going to loose the person's hand on the side of you. And you're going to turn around. And you're going to walk back to your seat. And when you walk back to your seat, God has given you a new mind. A new mind. A new mind. A new mind. He's renewed your mind. Come on, I'm going to release you now. Go back to your seat and tell three people, he's renewed my mind. Woo! He's renewed my mind. Thank you, Lord. We're not done, Brian. We're not done. We're not done. We're not done. We're going to do some work. We're going to do a little bit of work. All right? All right, I got a second group I'm about to call up. And some of y'all in the first group might be in the second group. Deep in your spirit, you believe the lie. You don't think God loves you enough to move for you tonight. So you're dealing with a sickness because that perfect love ain't cast out fear just yet. You're stuck in poverty and lack, and you don't think he loved you enough to get you that car, that house, Here he is. He done gave you Jesus. And you don't think he going to pay a bill. Woo! For all of those who struggling on the inside with the Father's love. And let me tell you, it's easy to struggle with the Father's love if you didn't have a good father. Because you've never experienced a true father's love. And you've carried that baggage into your relationship with the Lord. You see? And since your earthly father let you down, you, when you pray, you have a root down there. Let me prophetically reveal something to you. Sometimes you don't ask God what you really want because you don't want to be let down. Sometimes when we're praying together, you don't even ask him what you really want because you don't want to be let down. It's kind of like your earthly father. You don't want to ask him to come to your game because you know he's not going to show up. You don't want to ask him to pick you up because you know he's not going to show up. If you have a struggle with his love tonight, come to the altar, please. Come to the altar. See, God's going to know that. God's going to know that. Another way you can know it is going to be a whole bunch of fear in your life. You're going to be scared of this and scared of that. Scared of heights, scared of water, scared of the dark, scared to be by yourself, scared of everything. Because you don't think he loves you enough. We're going to pray with you at this altar. See, I believe that I got a little something to impart to you tonight. You see? Because it was his love that won me. You see? His love is what I tapped into. His love is what I operate in. I swim in it. I bask in it. You know? I know he loves me. And I want to lay hands on you and impart to you that same knowing. Remember when Paul said, remember, hallelujah, stir up the gift that you received by the laying on of hands. You are about to receive a gift of knowing that he loves you. Love. Just grab hands with somebody. Just, am I all right, babe? Am I taking too long? Can we just bask in his presence right now? There's some father wounds that we kind of dealing with up in here. There's some fear. But perfect love casts out fear. God, in the name of Jesus, as we lay hands on your people, God, me and my wife and Bryant, Lord, we are asking that you would bless your people with a divine revelation, with illumination. And, oh God, that you would bless them with a revelation that provides emancipation, God. That them coming in contact with your love, a full expression of it, that love revelation would be liberating, God. You know what happened to them when they were small. You know what they didn't have. You know what daddy did. And you know what he didn't do. But Father, you are not that daddy tonight. You are not that father. You are perfect in all of your ways. You're a good, good father. And it's who you are. So I'm praying tonight that those who've been abused, rejected, abandoned, those who've been insulted, those who've seen their real daddy and real daddy done turned their back on them like, I don't know you. Those who have a history of being let down by daddy, show them your love tonight. And let them know you'll never leave them nor forsake them. Let them know, God, that you'll never forget about them and that you're faithful. That you are surer than the heavens. That you've engraved them on the palms of your hand. And even if a mama were to forsake her nursing child, you would never forsake them, God. You. Right now, I impart through the laying on the hands of everybody at this altar a revelation of your perfect, sinless, holy, and righteous love. And I pray that love would break shackles right now. I want you to picture that word fear. Just picture it in your mind. And I want you to picture a great wind blowing that word fear away. Let that wind just blow. Let that wind just blow. Let that wind just blow. That wind is the love of God. Let that wind just blow. It's blowing fear away. It's blowing the F away, the E away, the A away, the R away. Let it just blow it all away. You ain't got nothing to be scared of. You don't have nothing to be scared of. You don't have nothing to be scared of. You don't have nothing to fear because your daddy, your big daddy, is right on the side of you. He's never leave you nor forsake. He's right there with you the whole way. In Jesus' name. Now, everybody else, we're going to pray this last one and then we're going to go. All right? We covered the sound mind, we covered the love, but we forgot one. And the one we forgot is what? Power. Power. Holy Ghost power. So if you don't mind, amen, make your way to the front. Come on, make your way to the front. You say, Pastor, I don't want to do that. Come on, just listen. Ooh, you don't want to pass up power. If LUS was calling you and told you that they was going to give you free power for a month, you would be up here. Huh? There's somebody else passing out power. It's not LUS, it's the G-O-D. Come on and get some power. 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 What the church is lacking right now is Christians that operate in power. The Bible says that when they were all assembled together in the upper room, they were all in one accord. Is anybody in one accord with me tonight? And the Bible says they were up there with the women and the men. Meaning that the Holy Ghost is not going to discriminate up here at this altar. But the power is going to fall on anybody who wants this power. And the Bible says when they had prayed. When they had prayed, because prayer brings much power. Here we are, men and women, on one accord, and we are about to pray. And prayer is gonna bring power. He says, you have not because you ask not. He says, whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do for you. He says, if a son asks the father for bread, he will not give him a stone. How much more you if you ask for the Holy Ghost from your father? I got a question for you. Do you believe the word tonight? If you ask for something, will God give it to you? All right, all right, all right. Is it his will for you to have power? Well, come on, touch and agree with somebody. Now, come on now. You remember answered prayer. Let's expect him. While I'm praying, I want you to picture a glass. And I want you to picture a glass with water in it. When I begin to pray, I want you to see that glass being filled up. And however full you want to be is how you will picture that glass being. Some of y'all just going to picture the glass being halfway full. Some of y'all going to picture the glass being three quarters full. But some of my crazy saints going to picture the glass all the way full, overflowing, 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 gushing out. So let me ask you this. Which glass are you picturing? Hey! Okay, close your eyes and just see it. Watch that glass for a second. Watch that glass for a second. You're going to see clear water. You're going to see clear water. You're going to see clear water. Father, in the name of Jesus, in your mighty name, the name above all names, the name that at this name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, the name that if we ask anything in that name, you will give us what we ask for. Well, in that name of Jesus, Yahshua, we come. And we ask for more power of the Holy Ghost. So fill us up tonight. Fill every man, woman, and child up tonight. Fill every glass tonight. Oh God, I see it to the brim. I see it overflowing right now. Fill it all up tonight. We see it, God. We see it. Fill up hearts tonight. Fill up minds tonight. Fill up power tonight. I pray when people leave here, they be on fire tonight. They be able to lay hands and heal tonight. They be able to prophesy tonight. They be able to pray tonight. They be able to preach tonight. They be able to teach tonight. They be on so much Holy Ghost fire, they want to witness to somebody. God, fill up your people, Daddy. To the overflow. I pray every gift would come out, God. Stir it up by the laying on of hands. I pray for visions, dreams, prophecy, tongues and interpretation, pastors and prophets and teachers and apostles and evangelists and exhorters and servers and fill till I overflow. I want to run over. Somebody say, I want to run over. Somebody say, I'm running over. How? Somebody say, I'm running over. I'm filled. In Jesus' name. Woo! Power! Love! Yeah, 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 yeah. And a sound mind. Listen, we done kept y'all long enough tonight. But Brian had something powerful tonight. How many people needed that scripture? How many people needed that tonight? I'm walking and he say, Pastor, I may need you tonight. I want to lay hands. I say, brother, I'm here, brother. I'm here. It worked out perfectly. Worked out perfectly. I'm glad to be back, saints. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may he bless you with peace, with shalom, with prosperity, with power, with anointing, with everything you need. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love y'all so much, saints. Be blessed. See y'all Sunday. Good Lord, spare. I'm going to be on the ticket. Woo!